The federal shutdown has shut down aircraft sales. EAB accidents and fatalities down dramatically. And Airbus signs a first deal with JAL. This is Aero News for Tuesday, October the 8th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. NBAA President and CEO Ed Boland Friday issued a call to action, asking members to immediately contact their representatives in government and demand the reopening of the FAA aircraft registry based in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. With the FAA's aircraft registry deemed non-essential in the government shutdown that began October 1st, no one can buy or sell an aircraft in the U.S. until the government is back in business. Boland's call to action for NBAA members followed an open letter he sent earlier to President Obama and congressional leaders to urge the administration and Congress to quickly find a way to end the shutdown or, at a minimum, conduct a reevaluation of the criteria for accepted employees. Earlier in the week, Boland detailed the dire consequences the shutdown was having for business aviation at a House Small Business Committee roundtable focusing on challenges facing the general aviation community. As the association's legislative team works to communicate the dire nature of the registry shutdown to lawmakers on Capitol Hill, Boland asked that NBAA members also make known their concerns, including the backlog that will exist at the FAA whenever the office reopens. Meanwhile, the furlough of FAA and NTSB accident investigators may violate the main treaty setting the standards for air safety among the 192 nations of the ICAO, that according to a former FAA lawyer. According to the ICAO's Chicago Convention, the U.S. is obligated to have a system that ensures that all aircraft, regardless of country of registry, comply with safety regulations. Loretta Alakele, a former lead FAA lawyer in New York, told Forbes that the furlough of 3,000 inspectors very likely puts the U.S. in violation of that treaty. The number of experimental category aircraft fatal accidents fell by 25% in fiscal year 2013, according to FAA figures. Year-to-year, fatal aviation accidents involving experimental aircraft totaled 55 during fiscal year 2013, down from 73 in 2012. Lives lost this year totaled 70 people, compared to 85 in 2012, an 18% decrease. The FAA sets not-to-exceed guidelines for fatal accidents every year as part of a 10-year accident reduction plan. The not-to-exceed goal for all experimentals in 2013 was 69 fatal accidents, so in 2013 the total was 14 under that goal. Within that total, the number of fatal accidents for experimental amateur-built aircraft fell by 30%, from 50 in 2012 to 35 in 2013. Meanwhile, fatal experimental LSA accidents were down from 11 to 8. EAA has been working hard to promote transition and recurrent training, and Sean Elliott, EAA's Vice President of Advocacy and Safety, said, quote, "We are cautiously optimistic that these figures represent many of our safety initiatives starting to take hold in the EAB community," end quote. Japan Airlines, JAL, has signed a purchase agreement for 31 A350 XWBs, 18 A350-900s, and 13 A350-1000s, plus options for a further 25 aircraft. This is JAL's first ever order for Airbus aircraft since the merger of Japan Airlines and Japan Air Systems, which had in the past ordered Airbus aircraft. It is also the first order Airbus has received from Japan for the A350 XWB. JAL and Airbus aim for entry into service from 2019, with the airline's A350 XWBs gradually replacing the aging fleet approximately over a six-year period. While their best summit years used to be conducted under the guise of the old AOPA expos, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association will convene its final summit in Fort Worth during the latter part of this week. And yes, despite the fact that these events have, for several years now, been long on hype and short on news, ANN will be there, mostly to see if we could get a better feel for how the organization will fare under its new leadership. ANN has received several reports that AOPA has not given up on some kind of national get-together, with several sources reporting that AOPA is planning to revamp and reinstitute their HQ-based annual fly-in. That, of course, got the axe under the Fuller presidency. After more than 24 hours aloft, four of the five teams competing in the America's Challenge long-distance gas balloon race are still aloft and traveling east from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Five teams launched at about 1800 local time on Sunday evening, and as of late Monday night, only the team of Peter Cuneo and Barbara Fricke have landed in Colorado. At our production deadline, the four teams still flying were all clustered in the southeast corner of Colorado, above the edge of the Oklahoma Panhandle. The team of Mark Sullivan and Sherry White are leading, having traveled about 250 miles so far. When Aero News continues, Joe Kittinger joins the International Ballooning Hall of Fame. The shutdown will not stop Albuquerque's balloon fiesta, and an aerial salute to breast cancer awareness.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, October the 8th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The Fédération Aéronautique Internationale inducted two new members, Colonel Joe Kittinger and Reverend John Bacon, into its International Ballooning Hall of Fame on Friday, October the 4th. Ceremonies were conducted at the Hall of Fame that is housed within the Anderson Abruzzo Albuquerque International Balloon Museum in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Participating in the ceremonies were New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez and NAA President Jonathan Gaffney. Kittinger and his wife Sherry were on hand for the honors, and it was something of a homecoming for Kittinger. Just 1 year ago, on October the 14th, he was the CAPCOM, that's the capsule communicator, sitting in the Red Bull Stratus Project's mission control in Roswell, New Mexico, as Felix Baumgartner rode a helium balloon into the stratosphere and made his historic and record-breaking skydive from 127,851 feet. Kittinger was recognized for his original long, lonely leap, that jump he made from 102,800 feet back in 1960, a record that stood until he assisted Baumgartner in breaking it, and for his first solo crossing of the Atlantic by balloon, as well as many other ballooning achievements. John M. Bacon was inducted for, among other things, having invented the forerunner of the modern hot air balloon in England. At the turn of the century, he conceived the concept of a military hot air observation balloon with available liquid petroleum vaporizing burners. His trials in the summer of 1903 were successful, but he did not pursue it further in 1904 and died that Christmas. The 9-day Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta launched on Saturday, October the 5th, to the approval of tens of thousands of spectators and New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez, despite the shutdown of the federal government. Balloon Fiesta is one air show that the governor pledged will go on as scheduled. The governor was in Albuquerque on Friday, October the 4th, and just hours before the opening day launch of the balloons, the governor was asked if the federal shutdown would impact Balloon Fiesta. Her reply, quote, "Absolutely not. This is a world gem that we have here in New Mexico. People from all over the world come to see our skies dotted with these colorful balloons, and we are faithful to this gem, and we will continue to come, regardless of how dysfunctional the federal government continues to be," end quote. Some 554 hot air balloons are participating in the 42nd annual Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta that continues through Sunday, October the 13th. United, U.S. Airways, and Delta Airlines have announced special breast cancer awareness programs for the month of October. United Airlines employees, as part of United's Pink program, are showing their support for breast cancer awareness by sporting pink uniform items and accessories, including ties, neck scarves, and hats, throughout the month of October. At Delta, the airline's annual Breast Cancer One Employee Survivor Charter Flight launched on Monday. The pink Boeing 767-400 flew from Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport to Detroit Metropolitan Wayne County Airport, with more than 140 employee cancer survivors from locations around the world. In addition to the pink plane, throughout October, Delta's administrative building at its general offices in Atlanta will be illuminated in pink lighting, and employees will wear pink uniforms and sell pink products on board and in Delta Sky Clubs, including pink lemonade and pink headsets. All proceeds benefit the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. And at U.S. Airways, employees will be sporting pink uniform items in October as part of U.S. Airways' second annual Be Pink campaign, a partnership with American Cancer Society's Making Strides Against Breast Cancer program. The campaign raised $200,000 in 2012, and it runs through October, which is, of course, National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. On a personal note, my mother, at 82 years young and a two-time breast cancer survivor, completed her first three-mile walk this weekend in our hometown of Beaumont, Texas, to raise funds for the local breast cancer awareness efforts. I'm proud of you, Mom. Reporting from Albuquerque and the Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta, I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.